Of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Quite often our Sunday readings raise more questions than they provide answers, and this was especially true for me as I read our gospel this week. So I think this week, let's start with some questions that I thought of based on today's gospel. What is prayer? How would you describe prayer to someone who is unfamiliar with it? Sometimes we simplify and say that prayer is just talking to God, probably in an effort to make it seem more accessible and less mysterious. This is true enough, but talking to God for what? Why do we pray? What do we hope to accomplish, or what do we hope happens when we pray? Perhaps too often the most honest answer is we hope God gives us what we want. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. But this approach can lead us to treat God as our own personal genie, only bringing out and rubbing the lamp to commune with God when we want our needs or wishes fulfilled. Beyond that, I think there are a few more questions, rhetorical, no need to raise your hands. Who here feels totally comfortable and confident with prayer in general? Like, the words come easy to you. You know what you want to say every time. Who feels comfortable and confident praying aloud? Praying in front of other people, especially in public? How about praying for other people when you're with them? I think in the church we make a lot of assumptions about prayer. First, that people do it, that they pray often, that everyone knows how to pray, and that we understand entirely what it's for. And thus we neglect talking about it much more closely or providing much teaching or guidance around prayer at all. But prayer is, of course, a faith practice, and like most things that require practice, we don't learn or grow much with it if we don't take the Nike approach and just do it. While our confidence with prayer may shift and ebb and flow based on what we're experiencing and where we are in our faith, my guess is that many of us wouldn't always feel solid in answering those questions in the affirmative. I know I don't. I don't always feel confident and comfortable in prayer. I don't always have the words to say. It doesn't come easily. Yes, I have my ideas and convictions of what it's about, and I'm willing to do it, but feeling assured in our understanding and in our practice, That's way more elusive. Since prayer is a part of our faith life, this makes sense to some extent, because faith and prayer are not something we can quantify or categorize or prove with data and evidence, but sometimes I think we just wish we had a better handle on it. And as we see in our gospel today, we're not alone. Luke shows us in this gospel that the followers of Jesus from the time of those first disciples had been seeking a better understanding of prayer and how to pray. And so in our reading, Jesus supplies some helpful context in why we might do it, what prayer might be all about. So seeing Jesus engaged in prayer himself allows that disciple to open a question up and learn, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's a phrase that we often use in worship as a lead-in to what we now know as the Lord's Prayer, the framework of which Jesus provides here in this gospel. As with prayer in general, I think sometimes with this prayer we often assume too much, especially as repetition breeds familiarity, which can often lead to recitation by rote. If we're not currently in confirmation class, though, it's unlikely we're spending a lot of time reading Luther's catechisms and explanations of the prayer. It's unlikely that we're refreshing our memory of what each of these petitions is all about, and so we can just breeze through it as we always do. Here's the moment where you can probably let out a sigh of relief, because we definitely don't have time to break that all down here now either. But I believe there are a few general concepts that we can take from Jesus' example prayer and his words that follow, ideas that help strengthen our understanding of prayer and our confidence in doing so. The first one is one we probably won't like too much, admitting that we are dependent on God. As much as we want to believe we have control of our lives, as much trust as we place in our human ability to solve problems and make ourselves feel safe and secure, life is, of course, well beyond our control. We come into the world with nothing, vulnerable, and we leave it the same way. Everything in between is by God's gracious providing. Not only our daily needs like food and so much more, but also in our captivity to sin, our ability to avoid temptation and avoid evil, our willingness to forgive when we've been hurt and wronged. Admitting our vulnerability and weakness is hard, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just an honest assessment of who we are in our human condition. So that, of course, points us to the good news. Because of this, Jesus offers us the promise of the second major theme in this prayer. There is one whom we can call on to trust and love and care for us. We know this, or we probably wouldn't be here, but it can be an important reminder at times when it feels like prayer isn't answered, when despite our petitions, things just don't seem to turn around in our lives. Jesus invites his disciples and us to call on God as Father, not as a commentary on God's gender, not as a tool to establish patriarchal dominance, but as an intimate address that acknowledges that God's loving care transcends and is so far beyond any of our limited, broken human experiences of parental care. This is what Jesus is saying in the last section of this gospel with what initially sounds like kind of a strange comparison. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? The idea here is that even with all our human brokenness, even a pretty lousy parent probably wouldn't want to put a vulnerable child at risk by giving them something dangerous. So, if that's the case with humans, then how much more then, Jesus says, how much more will God, the entirely boundlessly loving parent, give good gifts to us, including the Holy Spirit, to anyone who asks? Third, the orientation of prayer and one's communication with God is not to be centered on ourselves and our own desires. You may have heard it before, but again, it's often overlooked. Every one of our petitions in this model prayer is plural. It is not an I, me, mine prayer, but a we, us, our prayer. Returning time and time again to the prayer that Jesus teaches us draws us out. It draws us out beyond our inward focus, which can become so narrow when we're focused on just trying to get by with the things that we need to take care of. This prayer reframes our life in this world as part of a larger community. It can reorient us to be mindful of tending to our relationships and to the needs of others, not just those of ourselves. And then after addressing God in a way that affirms our trust in God's love and faithfulness, we first ask for what such a benevolent, loving God would have us know and experience. Your kingdom come, here among us on earth as in heaven. It is only then that we turn to God in asking for the things not just that I need to get by in this world, but that we all need to live in peace, wholeness, and right relationship with one another. So first we ask for what God would have us know, the values of God's kingdom, peace and justice and equality and love, and only then do we move toward our own desires. Lastly, with Jesus' assurance of God's loving care, we can be confident in our prayer. I think that's why we had our psalm that we had today, and certainly our first reading, in which we have the boldness of approaching God in prayer. Jesus' words indicate that we too can be bold and confident because God is willing and eager to listen to our prayers and to answer them. God is willing to provide goodness and grace for and among us in all our brokenness, and God is willing to lead and guide us by the Holy Spirit when we make a mess of things ourselves. One caution here, though, is the danger of taking Jesus' words too literally. If we ask God for something and don't receive it, my hope is that we don't take that as license to say that the whole endeavor of our faith is bankrupt. No, our prayers will not always immediately be answered in the way we would like. But God's relationship with us is far more nuanced and mysterious for us to give up on God so easily, at least I would hope. Rather, Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent, as the front of our bulletin says, to be engaged in our faith, to seek continual communion with God, to not give up in sharing with God our deepest desires, our will and our desire and our yearning for healing and wholeness for this world, for our neighbors, and yes, for our own lives. There's so much to talk about in regard to this gospel and to prayer in general, and so much richness and fruitfulness that can come from our practice of prayer both as individuals and as a community. My hope is that, inspired by this gospel, we will continue to find ways to learn and grow and expand our practice and experience of prayer together. But for now, to conclude, I think it might suffice to circle back to one of our initial questions in light of Luke's gospel. What does prayer do? What does Luke show us that prayer does in this example Jesus gives us? I would say prayer seeks to open and leads us to opening. What do we mean by that? Jesus says, "Knock and the door will be opened." Luke has a consistent theme of opening throughout his gospel, and this assurance comes to its culmination in the conclusion of that gospel, as Jesus gives his life on the cross and by his resurrection opens the way to eternal life for all those who believe. Luke says that the risen Jesus opens the eyes of the disciples, that Jesus opens their hearts to understand the scriptures, and in the end opens their minds. Through Jesus and through the gift of prayer, God invites us, I think, too, to be opened. Opened to communicating with God, opened to experiencing life in community together, opened to a gracious and loving will and vision for this world that is far beyond what our hardened hearts are capable of conceiving or achieving. As we seek God by opening ourselves in prayer, God opens us, and God opens God's self to us. And through Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we find new understanding, new hope, new beginnings, and new life. And in the midst of it all, we have the assurance that God will continue to be with us, eager and willing to listen and answer when we seek, knock, ask, and eventually find. Amen.